This is Dr. Jimmy Nichols, equine nutritionist. On this podcast, we will explore unique cases, debunk popular myths, and break down advanced research data. Join me for a little fun, a lot of science, and some real-world advice for feeding horses.
Welcome to episode 123. It is Dr. Jimmy. So back in February, I was invited to be a guest speaker at the International Association of Equine Dentistry Conference that was held in Orlando, Florida. And trust me, February is definitely a good time to be in Florida. But I was also able to meet some really bright minds while I was there. And one of the recurring requests that I got after presenting was, can you please turn these presentations into podcast episodes? So that brings me here. This is the first episode. It'll be a three-part series really focused around dental care. So I hope you guys enjoy. But before we get into it, this is your friendly reminder to go share this podcast with your friends, whether it's a recommendation for the podcast just in general, or if there's a certain episode that just really spoke to you or really impacted you or your horse, I would love to hear about it. You can do this by liking and sharing my posts on social channels. I am on Facebook or Instagram, and you can find those pages by searching Dr. Jimmy Equine Nutritionist, or you can just type in my handle, which is at Dr. Jimmy, and that is spelled D-R-J-Y-M-E. Let's get into the show. So the formal name for this particular presentation during the dental conference was Digestion Starts in the Mouth, Why Dental Care is Critical to Digestive Health. Unfortunately, that name is a little bit long for a podcast title, so I tried to shorten it up just a little bit. Nonetheless, a point that I want to communicate is the body is a very complex system. In fact, the body is really made up of these intimate connections of many systems. And I want to make sure that we drive the point home that no one area functions in isolation, okay? It's kind of like running a business. So if you are making and selling something, the manufacturing team has a very unique set of job functions. They are reliant on the sales team to drive the need for the products that they are making. On the flip side, the sales team has very different and unique job functions compared to manufacturing. But if manufacturing isn't doing their job well, then the sales team may risk losing customers. Then you add in all these other areas of business, right? Running a good business, like things that are vital to company health, right? But never necessarily, maybe they're not seen by the public eye. I'm thinking about, office managers, office personnel, accounting departments, HR personnel, marketing teams, right? The list can go on. So a company or a business is more than just the logo or the brand that the public sees. It is really this complex connection of a lot of different systems, okay? And each area or each system has a very unique job description. They all connect in some way or another, and they are all dependent on each other at one level or another, even if it's just for a short transaction every day or, just a few small transactions every other day, whatever it is, the organization has to communicate with one another in order for the ultimate success of the business or the company. Well, your horse's body is really no different. The stomach plays the role of breaking down food, while the small intestine is responsible for allowing appropriate particles to be absorbed. Well, the small intestine could not do its job of absorbing nutrition if the stomach called in sick that day. Ha ha, pun intended. And the stomach cannot do its job of breaking down food if the teeth are not functioning properly. So let me give you another example. Okay, we all know that saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, right? Well, imagine that you have in your hand this gorgeous, red, juicy, crisp apple. It is freshly washed, it is polished, and you are literally moments away from taking your first big bite on a hot, hot summer day. But wait, you don't have teeth. Major letdown, huh? I mean, my mouth was watering at that thought of that crisp, juicy apple. Like, I want to eat that apple, and the apple wants to be eaten. In fact, there is nutrition inside that apple that would be so good for my body if I could just figure out a way to get it into my stomach. Or maybe my teeth are completely fine, and it's my tongue that is not functioning properly, right? Maybe I damaged my tongue really badly somehow, and I physically cannot chew food and move it to the back of my mouth to swallow. Maybe my throat is damaged and I simply cannot swallow, right? My point here is there are a whole lot of things that need to be functioning well within the mouth before my stomach can even think about doing its job of breaking that apple down and positioning it for the small intestine to take over, right? So the mouth is really the first part of the digestive tract, not the stomach, right? Not even the esophagus. I guess if you want to get really technical, the very first part of the mouth, which means it would be the exact start of the digestive tract, is actually the lips, the horse's lips, right? So a horse's lips play a really important role in selecting, sorting, and basically taking in food, okay? All right, I'm kind of rabbit trailing here, so I'll get back to the point. The horse's body is like that company or business that I was describing. What you see on the outside is not a full reflection of what's going on inside of that horse. A company might have a flashy logo or a relentless digital marketing campaign that seems to follow you everywhere, but you don't truly know how well that business's upper management connects to the team on the production floor, or how informed and knowledgeable the sales team is when they are trying to communicate with their customers. You know, even if one specific segment of the company is working at full capacity, 10-star ratings, rock star, awesome, that doesn't matter if another segment of that same company is falling flat on its face, right? So when you go back to the horse, just because a horse looks gorgeous standing out in the pasture doesn't mean that each system within the body is actually operating at full capacity, or even that each system is communicating properly with the next system in line. If it's not super obvious yet, the focus for this episode is going to be the mouth and why this specific part of the digestive tract, being the mouth, why it is so critical to the success of the other systems within the body. I am going to give you three of what I'm going to call my primary reasons that I care so much about the condition of my horse's mouth. So to kick it off, number one is the ability to physically take in food and mechanically break it down into appropriately small pieces. Okay? Correct dental maintenance. The goal here is really to allow for good and proper lateral movement of the molar table. Okay? That's kind of like the primary target. Now, the reason that that is important is due to the way that a horse chews. Watch closely. The next time that you feed your horse, watch closely when your horse chews, and you will see that the bottom jaw is actually moving in a circular motion, right? They do not chew up and down like humans do. So we as humans basically chew our food by just like smashing it, right? We just like crush it. Well, a horse, when they chew, they are actually moving in a circular motion and they are grinding their food, okay? So they're not moving up and down. They're not smashing their food down. They're grinding across the molars, okay? So their top molars and their bottom molars are sliding against each other to grind the food particles into appropriately small sizes. Now, I am a strong proponent for regular dental assessments in horses and making sure that there are no malocclusions, wave complexes, ramps, hooks, wedges, abnormal transverse ridges, right? All these things. And, you know, just a side note, I want to make sure everyone understands there is no way for a layperson to just like flip a horse. Excuse me. There's no way for a layperson to just like flip a horse's lips up and look at those front incisors and say that the horse's teeth are in good condition, right? So if anybody ever tries to do that, that's kind of a red flag, okay? The reason for that is that, you know, all of those abnormalities that I just rattled off, those all happen in the back of the mouth, in the molars, right? And so there's no way that you can get an a good look or an appropriate look at a horse's molars unless you have a dental speculum and a good flashlight. Okay, the reason we want to make sure that the horse does not have any of those aforementioned issues is because each of them will affect the range of motion for the chew cycle, okay? And when a chew cycle is shortened, the grind of the food is affected. That's an example of a system in the body that is not functioning properly. A horse who cannot make a full chewing rotation is a horse that is likely swallowing food that has not been fully broken down, which means the stomach is now tasked with more work than it really wants to or is capable of doing. Larger food particles are coming at the stomach, and the stomach now needs more time for this chemical breakdown of food, but the digestive tract moves at a constant pace, so the food is still only going to get that 15 to 30 minutes in the stomach no matter what, right? So if the particle sizes were bigger due to not chewing properly, too bad. That food doesn't get to stay longer just because it needs more time for enzymatic digestion. It has to move on. And when it does, it's now the small intestine's problem. Well, same story. The small intestine can't say, whoa, Hoss, I need you and you and you and you to turn around and go back to the stomach and don't come back until you're fully ready. No, you know, the small intestine is now presented with a continuing problem, and it just has to do the best it can with this food that is just frankly, poorly broken down. And I'll let you in on a little secret. When food is not broken down into the correct size and structure, the small intestine is now not able to allow it to even be absorbed. So the problem then goes on to the hindgut and the microbes that live there, right? It's this just like chain reaction. So, you know, surely you're getting my point. What started as, you know, as an owner, an innocent, oh, my horse's teeth look fine, I think I'll skip getting him looked at this year, turns into a chronic daily stress on every system of the digestive tract. And, you know, while one or two or 10 days like this isn't likely going to cause a major problem for your horse, leaving the teeth unattended and allowing the condition to progress and get worse turns this into a chronic long-term stress on the horse's intestinal tract. And then you have potential for problems. Things like, you know, a horse that doesn't hold weight, a horse that drops their feed or quids, a hair coat that's dull, or maybe it doesn't shed out like it used to in the spring. It could lead to a horse with microbial imbalances and hindgut dysbiosis, or the dreaded word, ulcers, right? So the point of number one, you know, why the mouth and specifically the teeth should be in good working order is to make sure that the mouth is doing its job fully grinding all food into a particle size that is appropriate for the stomach to do its work in the short time frame that it has. My general recommendation is to have your horse's teeth evaluated by a professional every 12 months if the horse has a normal mouth, and then every 6 months if your horse has an irregular mouth or if they're under 5 years old, or as advised by your dental professional, right? So there's certain caveats that can require a horse to come in more often than once a year, right? So specifically in those really young horses that are losing caps and, you know, their mouths are changing really rapidly, sometimes it's a good idea to get those horses looked at a little bit more frequently. And then on the flip side of that, with senior horses, because eventually your senior horse is going to get to the point where he doesn't have any more teeth, right? The teeth continually grow up to a point, and when they're done, they're done. And so those teeth will start to fall out, which means that creates a gap. So the opposing tooth will actually have the freedom to grow into that hole, and or not into the hole, but into the gap enough that it can cause kind of a jaw lockup or a bump in the chewing cycle, if that makes sense. So your dental professional can take care of all of this. You just have to get your horse to the dental professional, right? Now, the second reason that I care about teeth quality and proper chewing movement in my horse's mouth is because it can actually help reduce the chance of ulcers. All right, hear me out on this one because it's not as obvious of a connection as the first one, but keeping your horse's mouth in good condition and increasing the chew time and the grind can actually help prevent against gastric ulcers, and here's how. So saliva is a natural buffer to stomach acid. Horses only salivate when they're chewing. If you can increase the amount of chewing and grinding that takes place in the mouth, you can increase the amount of saliva that then gets funneled to the stomach. Saliva is a natural buffer, which means it can help regulate how acidic that stomach is or becomes. If a horse is able to chew more effectively and produce more saliva, there is more natural buffer going to the stomach, which helps reduce acidity of the stomach and ultimately can help fend off the formation or at least lessen the pain and severity of existing gastric ulcers. Notice I said helps lessen the severity of existing ulcers. I said that because it is very uncommon for a performance horse to be ulcer-free. As much as we would all like to believe that none of our horses have ulcers, that's just not what the research is showing us, okay? According to the research, and you know, depending on which paper you read, what type of horses, how they're handled, and all the things, you can expect between 60 to 95, maybe even 99% of performance horses to have or experience ulcers, gastric ulcers. Now, if you stall the horses and you feed them high starch grain meals, oats, corn, sweet feeds, things like that, and you feed those at large volumes. So think about, you know, how horses in race horse barns, like in the racing industry, they're in stalls, they're on lots of oats, lots of sweet feed. Okay. And then they're exercised and worked really intensely. Okay. You're looking closer to that 95 to 99% mark, right? So, I mean, race horses, the research shows it's almost a sure bet that a racehorse or horse that's been on the track or in that type of a program is going to have an ulcer at some point. If you have a performance horse who maybe lives in a pasture or a large turnout, has, you know, a relatively low stress show life, then maybe you might be closer to the 60 to 75% chance of having ulcers in those horses. Regardless, ulcers are something that we have to be vigilant of at all times and employ as many measures as possible towards prevention. So proper dental care is one preventative measure that is just, in my mind, it's easy to do. Okay, it's an easy box to check. It's just part of, you know, this more holistic approach to managing your horse's health. All right, the third and final reason that I care so much about the quality of my horse's mouth is because oral health directly influences gut health. Okay. Anyone ever heard of periodontal disease? Well, periodontal disease is present in 35 to 85% of horses and is the leading cause of tooth loss. The most common reason that a horse develops periodontal disease is from an innocent food impaction, right? They get a little grass or a little hay stuck in between two molars, and that food impacts and it stays there and it progresses and it gets inflamed, right? And it maybe starts as just a little, you know, just a little discomfort, but it can rapidly turn into a more serious problem. The other reason that I care so much about this, or the other reason that a horse can develop periodontal disease, is through plaque buildup. Okay. Now, I mentioned the periodontal disease and the impaction and everything. So there's two different types of periodontal disease. So the first is gingivitis. The second is periodontitis. Okay. Gingivitis is when the gums are red, they're inflamed, they're bleeding, but that is completely reversible. Okay. That's early in the process, like that's not a game changer. That's not an ender, right? But periodontitis, on the other hand, is much more serious. It attacks deeper structures, and that's where you can see those, the tooth loss in those situations. So here's where things get really interesting, right? Researchers looked at two groups of horses. They looked at a healthy group, and then they looked at a group that was dealing with periodontitis. And what they wanted to evaluate was the microbial community in the mouth between the two groups. Yes, microbes live in your horse's mouth, just like they do in the intestinal tract. And there are what we call good bacteria, and there are also what we would consider bad bacteria. And what these researchers found was that the healthy group had a smaller core microbial community in their mouth, while the diseased group of horses had this larger, much larger range of diversity in those oral microbes. What that means is the horses with unhealthy mouths developed and harbored a whole bunch of new bacteria that are generally not present in a healthy mouth. This is important because oral bacteria is swallowed with saliva, which means all of these not so good bacteria are now getting this free pass into the digestive tract. And if the intestinal tract is compromised or stressed, we know through human research that those bad oral bacteria can colonize in the intestinal tract. In fact, this colonization can compromise the immune system, and certain strains like P. gingivalis are actually capable of migrating all the way to the colon and associated with many disease processes. So more specifically speaking, this particular oral bacteria has been connected to an increased risk. Now, keep in mind, this is human research still, but an increased risk of stroke, changes in the gut microbiome, insulin resistance, leaky gut, arthritis, and inflammation. Wow. Those are all things I do not want to be dealing with in my horse, right? So in closing, if there is one simple thing that you can do to help your horse be the best version of themselves, it is take care of their teeth. I actually have three uncles who are dentists, and one of them made the comment, "I think we are the only group of medical professionals who are constantly trying to put ourselves out of business." Meaning, you know, the dental profession has understood for a very long time that there's a direct connection between the health of the mouth and the health of the human. And that's why we are taught to brush our teeth twice a day, every day, right? We're trying to prevent gingivitis and plaque because these things can have very detrimental long-term effects on our body. That said, I try to treat my horse the same, right? So no, I'm not out there brushing my horse's teeth daily, but I do make a point to have their teeth evaluated every 9 to 12 months, and then I take the necessary measures to keep their mouth as healthy as possible. All right, on a final note, I want to thank you guys for listening. If you are interested in a nutrition consult, I work with the team at Bluebonnet Feeds, and they offer free consults for anyone, regardless of what feed that you happen to be using. If you're in the United States, you can go to bluebonnetfeeds.com and go to the resources tab and click on nutrition consults, and they will connect you with a consultant who is in your area. And this is really a great team. I do continuing education with this team on a weekly basis. And if there's ever a consultation that gets pretty technical, I do get involved. So my hands are definitely involved in these consultations. While it may not be directly with me, it is with a team of people that I deeply trust. So again, if you are looking for a free nutrition consult, you can go to bluebonnetfeeds.com and go to the resources and the nutrition consults tab. That said, I'm going to make a post on my social channels with this episode. So if you have aha moments or would like to tag it and share it with people, please hop over to Facebook or Instagram and do what you do over there.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Feed Room Chemist. If you like what you hear, be sure to share with your friends, post to social media, or give us a review. And as Winston Churchill used to say, no hour of life is wasted that is spent in the saddle. So go saddle up.